looking at the pictures, looking at the words. I love to read.
It's 11 minutes after 8 o'clock. The iconic voice of Barney the dinosaur. What a throwback. There was like a core memory unlocked by that sound because I grew up watching Barney. And we are talking about reading this morning, but reading and how you can help your children become decoding experts, which is what reading is all about. Joined, as always, by our resident parenting and human potential expert, Nikki Bush. Nikki, a very good morning to you. As always, good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Googs, and hello to all of our listeners.
So I think it's very interesting that we're talking about reading, not just about understanding the words, about comprehension, because that's a big part, certainly at school, reading and comprehension, so understanding. But this morning we're talking about a little bit something a step further, reading as a way to decode things, to make sense of things.
Absolutely. If you think about it, Googs, our world is based on language. And if you can't understand language, if you can't read, if you can't understand the meaning behind words, you actually can't interact with the world because everything is based on language. Now, I know we've got many different languages in the world, and we also, of course, have a whole digital language of coding and programming, etc. So, you know, it's important that we raise children who can interact with the world, who can have conversations, who can read, who can decode words which are made up of letters. And so we have letters that make up words, and we have words that make up sentences. We have sentences that make up paragraphs, and we have paragraphs that make up longer tracts of information, whether it's essays or whether it's something our children are researching on the internet. But words, words, words are everywhere. And it was Dr. Seuss who said, the more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. And it's not just about the ability to read, but it's also about building that general knowledge. Because the more general knowledge you have, as Dr. Seuss says, the more places you'll go because you have context for information. So it's one thing to learn facts. It's another thing to have context for those facts. But this first starts with a love of words and a love of reading and giving our children the gift of learning how to read and learning to read well, because this is one of those gifts that once it's acquired, it can never be taken away.
So this is not just about learning what the words are, how to spell them, how to sound them out, but trying to figure out what the words mean in context. So, you know, the cat in the hat or the cat sat on the mat. So knowing what does that tell me? What does that, or what is implied? So are we asking kids or talking about helping kids go beyond what is, you know, just the string of words that they've read and potentially even understand? But what do they mean? What is implied? What is not being said in these words necessarily? Or what do you understand?
Yes, exactly. But this starts off with developing a love of reading. So let's start at the beginning. You know, what we need to do from the time our children are babies in arms is read stories to them, because learning language is very contextual and very relational. And we discussed talking your child clever a couple of weeks ago. So mm-hmm. We're adding on to that conversation this morning that you as a parent reading stories to your child is not only building their word power and their understanding, but also building the emotional bond between you and your child. So learning to read also has a huge emotional connection. And then you need to listen to them read books to you aloud once they can read. And as parents, we have this real wish for our children to be literate. And when they come back from school in grade one with their first reader, It's a really momentous occasion. It's big. It's big for your child and it's big for you. And the funny thing is that the first book they bring home actually only has one word in it that's repeated about 17 times, about 8 pages of the same book. And both my children brought home exactly the same book. And it had one word in it, and the word was look. And they stood up so proudly in front of their dad and I, and they read the book. Look, 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 look. And we were just bursting with pride. They were so excited that they could read. Now, reading in the very early days is just sight reading. They're not actually decoding the letters. They're actually sight reading words, because words have shape. And every time a word has the same shape, they know, the brain knows what that word is. The brain is absolutely brilliant. So please get excited when your children bring home these readers. Please support reading as a subject, because in the first few years of school, reading is a subject. And you need to show so much support for their literacy development. And then, of course, it's to engage them in conversations, because then you know whether they actually understand the context of words. So we are talking our children clever. In the first few years, from the ages of 2 to 8, which we call the foundation phase, this is where children are learning how to read. They are acquiring the pre-reading skills in the preschool phase. And the pre-reading skills enable them to recognize letters of the alphabet, to read them, to write them, and blend them. In the preschool years, that starts with playing what we think is completely unrelated, shape and color games. Shape and color games help our children to work out similarities and differences, introducing these concepts to preschoolers and reinforcing them. So, for example, the lines contained in shapes such as a square, a triangle, a rectangle, a diamond, and a circle form the basis for every letter of the alphabet. So think about the curve in the letter A, which comes from a circle, and a straight line that comes from a square. So all of these skills that seem unrelated to reading and writing actually form the foundation of reading and writing. So in those preschool years, shape, color, quantity, telling, similarities, differences, matching, etc., are all super important, because one day your child will have to tell the difference between a C and an E. And there's a very small difference between a C and an E, and it's one horizontal line. Mm-hmm. And there's a very small difference between a P and a B. It's the position of the horizontal line. So these, you know, sharpening up their visual skills is going to help them to read easier and better. So learning to read happens in the first 8 years. And then from the age of 9 or grade 3 onwards, reading to learn becomes the focus, where the basic reading skills are consolidated to enable children to read for meaning. And of course, this is the really exciting stuff that unlocks the world for your child. Mm-hmm. So can you see how the focus shifts from the building blocks of reading in the foundation phase to then the consolidation of those skills in from grade 9 onwards? It's a very different way of teaching children to acquire skills.
And so in the beginning, the focus would be on learning to read. Then it becomes reading to learn. How crucial is getting the first step right if you're going to get the second one right? So if your kids are going to move, and they will, certainly in the schooling system, at some point they'll be expected to be learning how to read and know how to read. Then based on that ability, they'll be expected to use that ability to make sense of trigonometry, biology, history, accounting, whatever it is that they're studying. And if you don't get, if there's something missing in the first stage, does that impact the second stage? Can you get the second one, reading to learn, if you haven't quite gotten learning to read right? And can you fix it?
Googs, I have my head in my hands right now as you say that, because we have so many gaps in our education system as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so many children are expected to read to learn before they have learned to read. So literacy is one of the key Achilles heels we have in our country. And it's one of my passions to help parents to ensure that their children have those foundational skills, because you don't have to wait for your child to get into grade one before you actually start helping them to tell the difference between shapes and colors. This can be done at home. And this is a crucial part of learning how to read and how to write. So can you fix it? So I want to just give you a visual idea of what the perceptual skills basket kind of looks like. Let's imagine a wall with interlocking bricks. What we're talking about this morning are the foundational skills of literacy. And if you have a brick wall which is missing some of the bricks in the foundations, and along comes a flood of water, guess what? That wall is going to fall down. To ensure that wall doesn't fall down, our kids need the skills. If there are gaps in the wall, it is possible to remediate. As long as those children are diagnosed as soon as possible with gaps in the wall, then we can send them to a remedial teacher or to occupational therapy, and those holes can be filled. And they are filled very playfully. They are filled through a lot of repetition, through a lot of play, and eyes are strengthened, hands are strengthened, and children learn to fill those gaps. So connecting the dots is very important if we want our children to graduate, to be able to read, to learn. And you mentioned subjects like trigonometry, geography, biology, history. Think about all the words that your child is going to be given related to those subjects. And that just is the point. If they can decode, if they can break down words into letters, if they can pull the letters together to create the sounds and the words, if they understand the meaning of words, then once they get into those subjects with very contextual vocabulary, they will be in a much stronger place to do better.
So if we're looking at the first phase, learning to read, what are some of the practical tips parents can be using to help their kids get that very crucial foundation right, which sets them up for reading to learn?
So as I mentioned, make sure you read stories to your children to create a love of reading and story. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get your child into a play-based preschool where they are using a lot of educational games and toys. Look for shape, color, quantity. Look for puzzles. Look at the art that's on the walls. Make sure it's not all coloring in worksheets, that there's a lot of big pictures, as in big A1 pieces of paper that are bigger than your child's body, and that they are not prescribed. Look at the art, make sure that all the art looks different, that every child's piece of work looks very different from the other child's. So it's not prescriptive, so that your child is expressing themselves. Ask what is in the, we call them rings, activity rings in the preschool years. What do the activity rings consist of? So find out what the curriculum looks like. So this is super important. And then make sure that you have some of these educational games and toys at home, and that you're also doing shape, color, and quantity games with your child. Mm-hmm. So those form the foundation, very strong foundations. And when you speak to your children, make sure you are looking at your child, because your child is mapping how to say words by watching how your mouth moves. Very often today, we are not looking at our children when we speak to them. We are driving and our children are behind us or next to us, or we are not eating dinner at a table together. We are watching television. Your children take a lot of cues about words and about literacy from what they see and what they hear from you. So that really is very important for me, that we give parents that kind of information, and parents engage with their children like that. Now, when you read stories to your children from the earliest of ages, say from around the age of four, when you're reading a story at night or during the day to your child, you can say things like, so what were the children's names in the story? So now we're testing their auditory memory. What color was the little girl's dress? What color was the little puppy in the story? Can you remember how old the little girl was? So when we start asking these questions, we get whether our children are A, engaged with the story, B, are they listening, C, are they paying attention? You can do the same thing with television. So you could watch a television program with your child or something on YouTube for kids, etc. Watch with your child. And to help them decode, you can ask them questions. So while you're in the car going to get the groceries, you can talk about what you were watching together with your child to see what they took in. And this is really important because if your child doesn't have comprehension skills when they get beyond the age of nine, they'll also be lost in the system. So they need to be paying attention to what they're reading and what they're seeing so that they have context for what they're seeing and what they're reading so that they can actually derive meaning from it. Or are they just reading words? So I can tell you from experience, from having one very visual child who we thought could read, but he just memorized the words. So he wasn't actually decoding. He was going on sight. He was doing the sight reading, and he wasn't decoding. And he needed a little bit of extra help because they're just fudging it, actually, when they're doing that. They're not actually doing the work. So we also need to make sure. That's why, you know, a little bit of testing of your child by asking them about what they read.
What did they understand?
What did they understand? So important, because when you actually get into an exam situation one day, the kind of skills that you're teaching children in order to cope with an exam is to read the question once, read it twice, read it three times. Then ask yourself, what are they asking me to do? That is comprehension. What are they asking me to do? And then they can actually answer from a point of understanding, not guessing. And then we also have, of course, comprehension tests in English or in any language where you have to read the passage and then you have to answer 10 questions about what you just read. So if your reading skills aren't strong, comprehension is going to be very difficult in a comprehension test. So in order to teach children how to do comprehension, when children tell you about what they're reading, encourage them to try and put it in their own words. So now we're talking about children over the age of nine. Mm-hmm. Can they put what they just read in their own words so that they develop the skill of paraphrasing? And paraphrasing is a very important skill. So in today's world, it's so easy for our children when they're doing projects to cut and paste off the internet and plop it into a project. Now, that's fine in primary school, but once they get into high school, those projects get put through plagiarization monitors, and those pick up very quickly if your child just did a cut and paste. Mm-hmm. So we have to guard against the temptation of passing off someone else's work as their own. And then, Googs, just one last thing, and I know we've got to the end of time here, but high-frequency words like the and he and she and it and them are very important. So once your child has learned how to read, you need to assist them to really be able to read these kinds of words very quickly. And those are called the Dolch sight words, D-O-L-C-H. If our parents want to pop onto nickybush.com, you just need to put reading into the search and you will come up with reading as a gift. And go down to the comprehension section, and there's a link to download the Dolch list. And you just have to give your child once a week the front page of the local knock and drop that you get, give them a pen and ask them to go and circle all the thes and the as and the he's and the she's and the it's. So give them one word at a time. They have to read that story and circle those with a ballpoint pen. Then give them a second word and they have to read it again. And this will help them to spot those words quickly because they should learn, they should jump out at your child.
Some SMSs and messages that have come through on this conversation. Taki on WhatsApp says, Nikki is spot on. Literacy is a gateway to so many opportunities. I made it a point that my children love reading from as young as three. I've never looked back. Busisiwe says, morning Gogs and Nikki. Just this past week at my child's school, kids had to dress up like a book character that they'd read. So heartbreaking that in a class of 30 kids, only about 6 kids participated. This is after teachers had reminded us more than once. And Ngwako also says, morning Gogs and Nikki, it's exciting to hear about educating kids. I miss being a kid already. And that's a message from Ngwako.
Oh, that's lovely. So surround your kids with books and remember that the love of reading is often connected to you, the parent.
Nikki, as always, it's great to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you so much. That is our resident human potential and parenting expert, Nikki Bush. Again, if you're looking for those reading as a gift and that Dolch list that you can give your kids once a week, you can find it on nikkibush.com.